So I figured since it, is a Yom Yerushalayim, we should start with some Divrei Torah to cover the special nature of today. Mm-hmm. So the Tehillim, Kuf Chav Beis, Shir Hamalos L'David, Samachti Ba'omen Li Beis Hashem Neilech. I rejoiced when they said we're going to go to the house of Hashem. Omdos Hayu Ragleinu B'Sharayich Yerushalayim. Our feet were standing within your gates, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim habnuya ki'ir shechubra lo yachdav. Right, the rebuilt Yerushalayim, which is the city that's chubra, that's joined, that's attached. So on Shabbos, we discussed, the idea of there's a chibur of Yerushalayim. The Gemara tells us there's a Yerushalayim lemala, and there's a Yerushalayim lemala. That there's a physical, earthly Yerushalayim, and there's a spiritual Yerushalayim. The two are connected. You know, the chibur manifests itself in several different ways. As the Medrash tells us, that there were two great tzaddikim, and each one gave a different name to the city. We still add that Shem, the son of Noach, known as Malki Tzedek, was right, called it Shalem. Mm-hmm. And Avram Avinu called it Yireh. So Hashem didn't want to upset either one of these two tzaddikim, so therefore he made a tziruf, a mizug, he combined the two, and it became Yerushalayim. Okay, so that's the source of the name, but there's a lot of chiba, there's a lot of attachment coming up. In the Mishnah, the Meshech Chachma, Mer Simcha Divinsk writes in Bereshis, that the unification of these two concepts in Yerushalayim, Avram Avinu was the philosopher. He was the one, depending different ages given, however precocious he was, but Avram Avinu more or less came to the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his own. That just through observing and thinking about the world, I don't know if that story is true with Sir Isaac Newton or not, about the apple falling on his head. I don't know if it's not true, but Lamaisa, things happen. You start thinking, what's going on over here? Well, I see a world that's running. It must be that there's a Baal Habayis to the beer. The house is lit up. The lights are on. It must be there's an owner who turned the lights on. It must be there's somebody running this universe. So Avraham, through his intellectual development and questioning and answers, he predated the Socratic method, but he figured it out. He chopped. He understood that this world must have a master. Okay, and he taught that to people. So the Meshech Chacham says that Avraham Avinu's attribute was his moach. He used his tremendous moach to come, his intellect, to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the contrast to that was Shem, who was the lev, the midos. And we spoke a little bit about how in life, you don't pick your intellect, right? You don't get to, you know, excuse me, God, this is the IQ I would like. This is my thing. You get what you get. You play the hand you're dealt, right? That's how it goes. But that's not okay, so that's your chelik. The only avoda is what you do with that, right? It doesn't mean that a very person who doesn't have such a, we'll call them slow to grasp or something like that, like in Pirkei Avos, doesn't mean they're a rasha. It just means a chelik ra. It's hard for them to remember things. But the midos are what's in our control, right? This is what we were talking about. There's another pshat now in this pasuk of I'm sorry, I lost the spot already. Oh, Om Dushai Raglein to be Shereich Yerushalayim, right? That our legs are standing there. So the Shevet Levi of Grunwald Zatzal says an idea that Yerushalayim is the place where one comes. Like we know with Ma'aser Sheni, you go and you go to Yerushalayim and you learn and you observe and you see people who are passionate with their Avodas Hashem. For lack of a better term, it was like a modern day Shabbaton. It was like a seminar. You go to get to recharge your batteries, to get inspired. Three times a year, you go to Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place where Hashem is going to choose. So, why is it never referred to as Yerushalayim? It just says Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place that God's going to pick. But many, many times, it never tells us that. By the way, that's going to be Yerushalayim. So the Rishonim already discussed this, that it could be that they didn't want to be Hashem didn't want any jealousy between the Shvatim. That if they would have known that Yehuda, Binyamin, the other ones are going to get the base of Migdash, so then, well, Naftali says, what do you mean? What's wrong with me? Zevulun says, what's wrong with my chelik? Why don't I get it? So in order there shouldn't be any, you know, achdus, there shouldn't be any problems, there was an achdus, right? Ki'ir she'chubr li'achdus, that joins people together, so the actual location wasn't disclosed until later on. Other suggestions given are that if the Goyim would know that this was the place, that good morning. The Goyim would know this is the place that Hashem has chosen for the Beis HaMikdash, so they would have made it very, very difficult to conquer. I think we were talking about this last year, maybe. You know, remember the board game Risk? Mm-hmm. You know, right? So you can stack your armies. So I was a kid. My friend and I were playing Risk, and maybe it was an older brother, something like that. And they put all their armies on Hawaii. I mean, like Hawaii is not such a big. If you remember the board game, it's not such a big thing. But they said, this is where Pearl Harbor happened. This is where they're starting. This is where the war is going to end. So they took like every single army that had, everything was open. If you wanted Europe, it was yours. You want to, you can take any other country on, but Hawaii to get that, they put every single army because they wanted to. He's making a point. But I was a kid, but it made an impression upon me. That's what the Goyim would have done. They would have put all their armies in Yerushalayim, and so much unnecessary bloodshed would have had to happen. So that's the second reason why Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, it wasn't actually disclosed. Or other, they would have been mevazit. They would have put their garbage there. I remember when we were in on Har Scopus, you can do a dig. You can then they take dirt from there, and you can go, and they have like little six categories. You find a bone, you put it here. You find pottery, you find here. But a lot was garbage. A lot of the stuff you're going through was just what the Arabs threw their garbage there on that place. So the Goyim would have done that. So in Yerushalayim, you have this mixture of Ahava. And the place where the Akedas Yitzchak happened was on Har HaMoriah, Har HaShem, in Yerushalayim. So what happened? We spoke this out from the Levarim. And he explained that at the moment of the Nisayin of the Akedah, Avram had a tremendous conflict between the love for his son. Obviously, a father loves his son. He loved both his sons. He loved Yishmael. He loved Yitzchak. And he had love for Hashem as well. And the question was, well, which love is going to overpower the other? Because if his love for his son overpowered his love for Hashem, he wouldn't be able to follow the tzivui. But, so what Avram had to do was to be ma'or, had to arouse himself a tremendous love for Hashem, that the love for Hashem would overpower the love for his son and be able to carry out what he thought was going to be the Akedas Yitzchak. And the problem is, or the issue I should say, is when you have a tremendous amount of ahava, a tremendous amount of love, so then the Swarm bring down a concept called Klois HaNefesh, that literally your neshama just leaves the body. It can't be bound into this world anymore. It just has such a love. And therefore, the neshama says, I'm out of here. Some explain that's what happened with Nadav and Avihu. They had such high spiritual level, such big hasagas, that their neshama just left. It couldn't be bound. Because every one of the reasons, you know, you look at Nadav and Avihu, the Chazal give many, many different reasons, but every single one of the things that they did or did not do was basically rooted in the physical world. Right? They weren't wearing the Bigdei Kahuna. Bigadim is a physical thing. They didn't wash Yadayim Viraglayim. They didn't marry. All these are like physical things that it talks about. So there was a lack of a physical connection to this world. I said this over, I think, yesterday. Scott Lichtman, I told him after Shabbos, he sent me a story from the new recently printed Rav Kook Siddur, that Rav Kook was Eish Lahava, was just on fire for Hashem. A story where he was caught pacing in the middle of the night, and Rabbi Chalap asked him, Yilandein Rabbeinu, what's going on? He says, I'm just burning with a love for Hashem. I can't sleep. So one morning before davening, Rav Kook was talking to like a gardener or something like that about like how to plant different things, fertilizer, or exactly what the thing was. And Rav Kook didn't talk before davening, like certainly not things like this. So afterwards, they were amazed, and he explained, no, because I had such a love for Hashem, I felt my neshama was going to expire. So I had to do something very physical and very earthly in order to reroute, in order to be able to daven this morning. So if that happened to Rav Kook, so Kal Vachomer happened to Avram Avinu. You know what I'm saying? So he had also to do this. So what does Avram do? So he's more the aspect of Yira. In order that it shouldn't be an excessive or too much Ahava, he brings out the makam, the place of Yira in that place. So Yerushalayim is the place where Ahava and Yira comes together as one. So with that, that's the vort I wanted to say over from the Shevet HaYehuda. What does it mean? Omdos HaYiragleinu. We were standing B'Sharayach Yerushalayim. When we got to the gates of Yerushalayim, we had to stop. We couldn't move anymore. We stood still just out of the pachad, out of the awe. Yerushalayim is that place that arouses such a humility out of a person. You can't move. That's not the Parsha Pshat in the thing, but he's explaining. That's the idea of the two coming together and therefore representing this. I remember I've been privileged four different times in my life to go to the Grand Canyon. And when you go to, have you ever been to the Grand Canyon?
It's grand.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's grand. But you feel so small.
Yeah. I mean, literally feel small because you're looking 50 miles across just the next, ridge on the other side of the canyon. But you realize, you just feel so... People whisper. I heard someone on a Rebbe Friend tape. I'm dating myself, a tape cassette. But a friend said that the people whisper because you feel the Shekhinah there. You feel in the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's what it means. Yerushalayim is that place. And you see this still, Ad Hayom Hazeh. People who come to Yerushalayim, people who might not necessarily be so connected in other areas of life, but they get to the Kotel, and it's like, what hit me? It's still bringing people back. So I think that's important for celebrating the uniqueness and the specialness of Yom Yerushalayim. But there's an additional thing I wanted to discuss. These are the handouts you have in front of you. I wanted to discuss Yom Miyuchas. The Yom HaMiyuchas. What's the Yom HaMiyuchas?
That would be Wednesday.
So let's just quickly remind ourselves. Coming up now, so Tuesday will be Rosh Chodesh, okay? And then, that's the Rosh Chodesh, that's the first day of Sivan. Then the third, the fourth, and the fifth before are the Shloshes Yemei HaGabalah. So we don't say Tachlin on the 3 days we prepare before that. Then you have Yom Tov, okay. And around here, we're Sephardi influenced. We don't say, we're Hasidic influenced. We don't say during the whole week after. We have Tashlumen for the Korban Chagiga. So don't say Tachlin then. So you look at the next 2 weeks, Tachanun? So you have 1 day to say Tachanun. Say, no, the Beis Sivan is Yom Miyuchas. What happened on that day? Why is it Yom Miyuchas? Every day we have reason why not to say Tachanun. So it became like a Noch Schlepper. No, we're not going to say it for the other thing, so we're not going to say it on this one. So really, there's a lot to talk about. There's going to be a lot to talk about why it's called the Yom HaMiyuchas. Different reasons given. So it turns out one of the visions of Rebbe's, He used to speak a lot about Yom HaMiyuchas. He used to darshan this for many, many times over the years. It turns out that actually became his yortzeit. So they explain he had a unique kesha to the day. So I have here a few different, I'm not going to have time to do all of them, but let me just share with you a few ideas as to what to understand the Yom HaMiyuchas. If you look on, let's look on the second page. The top, he says, Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. Okay. Birava deravin. That means deepest of the deep, sweetest of the sweets. That's the time of Shalashudas. So by Shalashudas, Rava deravin, the Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Bamidbar Beis Sivan, Tuf Reish Ayin Hey. So that is 103 years ago. That would have been 1915. Tuf Reish Ayin Hey. Dibur Rabbeinu Sabak Isha Al Mailas Hayom Hazeh. Spoke about the greatness of this day. Bo Al Ha'adam Lekabil Al Atzmo O Malchus Shemayim. Yom HaMiyuchas is the day when a person accepts upon themselves the O Malchus Shemayim, Bekidei Sheyuchel Lekabel Olav O Mitzvos B'Yom Kabbalas Torah. So first comes O Malchus Shemayim, accepting Hashem like we do in Shema, and then comes the Kabbalas HaTorah on Shavuos. V'remez Zois B'Darkei HaKadosh. He gave a remez to this idea. Rabbi Shuben Karcha Omer, the Gemara Brachos on Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. Lama Kod Maparshis Shema, the Parshis V'Hayim Shemoa. In the order of the Shema, he asked, why does it go in that order? So why do we first say Shema, and then afterwards we say V'hayim Shemoa? So Gemara says, Kidei Shekabal Alav O Malchus Shemaim Techila. First, you have to accept Hashem as your king. That's Shema. V'achakach, and then once you accept Hashem as your king, Yekabal Alav O Mitzvos. You can accept upon yourself the mitzvos. That's the order. As the Ramban and others point out, when we talk about having Emunah Hashem, first we have to accept Hashem as our king. Once we have Hashem as our king, then can we mekabel upon ourselves whatever the king tells us to do. But it doesn't make sense to accept mitzvos without a mitzvah. The mitzvos have to come, the commandments have to come from a commander. So first we accept Hashem. Lechein, mem vov. That's the 46th day of the Omer. That's what Yom HaMiyuchas is. Shu ha-svira liyom zeh. What's the svira? Netzach shebemalchus. So this week, the final week of svira is malchus, right? Chesed, Shebe Malchus, Gevur Shebe Malchus. So the 46th day, the Yom HaMiyuchas, is Netzach, victory, endurance of Malchus, Shehu HaSoid Shel Sfira HaYom. That's what it means. Now, when you do the Gematria, all the Gematria, all Malchus Shemayim. So it works out. Netzach Shebe Malchus is accepting upon yourself all Malchus Shemayim. So that's the idea. On the day of Netzach Shebe Malchus, the victory, it means Netzach Nitzachon, means something that lasts. Has a permanence to it.
Eternity.
Eternity, correct. So to have that idea of Malchus, to accept Hashem as our Melech, that's what we do on the day. Sheikabah Lav, O Malchus Shemaim Techila, that's what we accept ourselves, LeKabolas HaTorah VaHamitzvos. And that's why we accept upon ourselves this idea, because we have to first accept upon ourselves who is the King. What are we getting ourselves into? And then, once again, now we can have the Torah. Now we can understand this. And that's the idea. Netzach, good morning. Netzach is not just a temporary victory. Nitzachon means to utterly eliminate the enemy, right? You know, when you're a little kid, you're playing sports, right? So you have to annihilate
the
other team.
When you're playing Risk.
When you're playing Risk, you have to annihilate them. You have to put all your armies on Hawaii to ultimately annihilate the enemy. But Netzach means that it has something. If just a temporary setback is not a Nitzachon. Nitzachon means when there's a permanence to the victory itself.
Can I ask what you define miyuchas as? Relationship?
I don't know. A yichus. How would we translate yichus?
It means
prestige? Yeah. Yeah, it's your lineage. When a person has yichus, they have...
If you have yichus.
Right?
But it's not just lineage. It's
heritage. Heritage.
Pedigree.
Pedigree.
The Rishner has a good word.
But I don't think it's even pedigree. I think it's the fact that... your pedigree is distinctive or special. I think it's more. I think the word actually connotes something more like special than
specialness.
Just pedigree.
Yes, yeah. So I'll show you the specialness one. We're not going to time to all of them. Let me find it in here.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do okay. Yom HaMiyuchas. I'm going to skip a little bit. The bottom one on the page. Dover Pella. Okay. It'll be Lezer Fish. That's all. So on the second line, Kibiyom Beis Sivan Tuf Reish Tzadi Hey. Okay, so that's now 95 years ago. Shna Achas Lifnei Yom Histaklus Maran Zuchus Yoginolim. So the year before the Rebbe passed away, Kasheyotz Rabbeinu Litayo Be Grossvarden Yoshev Al Kise. He sat on his chair for Omud Sham Lifonav Rav Chosid Yitzchak Zimmerboim. Okay. Why is it the reason that the Beis Sivan is called Yom HaMiyuchas? Okay, so Memvav, we just said it's the 46th day. Shehu Begematria Levi. Okay, Levi, Lamed is a 30, Vav is 6, and the Yod is 10, so it's 46. Okay, so that's the day of Levi. Memvav means Levi. Ve'isa b'gemara, the Gemara in Yevamos, pei vav, amud beis, and other places as well, shekohen nikra Levi. Okay, a kohen is called Levi. Ve'rashi zal pirish, it says, shekohanim heim miyuchosim. So it's a whole chain of events. The kohanim are miyuchosim. We have a yichus. We have the pedigree for the kohanim. Kohen is called Levi. Levi is 46. That makes sense. Yom HaMiyuchas, the 46th day. Umashum hochi hayom hasvir shelo bigmatri Levi, right? Hainu Kohen. That means it's a Kohen. Shemiyuchasim heim. Therefore, nikra yom HaMiyuchas. Okay. Umi ya'amod besod kodshim. Obviously, there's a much deeper meaning that he's bringing out here. He gave another reason as to why it is called Yom HaMiyuchas. Let me do one more with you. I know there's a lot in here. Let me find you. Look on the bottom of the next page. Bo b'yom yochu yom hakipurim. Another reason is to why it's called the Yom HaMiyuchas. Dover pela noisif matzin. We find something else. Shemaran asabek kedisha zuchus l'genu shochech b'kama b'kama pamim al kach b'yom shavua asher achal yom HaMiyuchas bo b'yom yochu yom hakipurim. Right, so that's the Avas Yisrael, the vision of the Rebbe. Says that the day of the week that Yom HaMiyuchas, this year it's going to be a Wednesday, mm-hmm. So Yom Kippur is going to be a Wednesday.
And that's right.
It's correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So Monday, Tuesday,
right.
Rosh Hashanah.
Monday, Tuesday is Rosh Hashanah. So Wednesday is here, there. So it's the Yom HaMiyuchas. So you have a. Now some explain. I think Rabbi Reisman explained what this means. He gave a beer on this. And it's a fact. Okay. So therefore, like the question is always, therefore what? So if you think about it, Yom Kippur was the giving of the second Luchos. The Luchos Shnius, the second set of Luchos came, Moshe Rabbeinu came down. So really, if you think about it, Yom Kippur is a Kabbalah Satara. So Yom HaMiyuchas, that we're still preparing for it, and there's a connection. The fact that the dates fall out the same way, so there's obviously a connection. We have this many times, right? We have the Atbash, we have the first night of Pesach is the same night as Tisha B'Av. So there's always a lot of a deep connection between them. That Purim is always the same day as Lag BaOmer. That's actually what we spoke about here in Shul, the Lag BaOmer Tish, with Kal Chasidim. But the idea is that there's a connection between Yom Kippur and Yom HaMiyuchas. V'hosif sham, he added on, Hare pekida im bonei chayim mezoine. So we were, bonei chayim mezoine means a person's children, a person's life, a person's parnasa, shishpa li Yisrael, hayom, yom memvov ba'oimir. So this comes to a person on this day. Just like Yom Kippur, there's a gezar din for what's going to be, so too on the Yom HaMiyuchas, there's a gezar din, what's going to be. Shehu Yom HaMiyuchas, asher bo yochel Yom HaKippurim. So it's a very big avoda. This is not just a coincidence. The fact that it does fall on the same day is to show us that this is a very important day. Obviously, there's much more to do, many more reasons given. Unfortunately, time doesn't permit us to go through the rest of them, but you're welcome to take these and to go through on your own. But I think the idea is, what should we focus on now? This last week of Sphere, right now, as we're preparing for this. So, connecting to Yom Yerushalayim, we should be thinking about how to have a healthy balance in our life between Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. There's a good Yiddish expression that says, Avas Hashem is geschmack, but Yiras Hashem is gesund. the geschmack, the enjoyment, is Avas Hashem. We like to do things like that are fun and exciting and pleasure. That's the Avas Hashem. But too much Avas Hashem, it's geschmack, but too much it could lead to inappropriate places, because I love this. I have on the fool. I do certain things that I love, even though they're not healthy.
That's why bet after Pesach and Sukkot.
Right. Yeah, correct.
Not that I do that, but, you know, it's, conceptually it's the same.
Right, correct. There is a connection. And then what's the other tzad? The yira. The yira is the gezunt. To have a healthy amount of Yiras Hashem is that I don't go too far, that I have that healthy balance, that I'm healthy because I have the proper temperament, the proper balance between my Avas Hashem and my Yiras Hashem. So we're thinking about that. Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem are the two wings, says the Zohar, that cause our mitzvahs to fly up. So without that, the mitzvahs can't fly. A one-winged bird can't fly too well. It just goes crashing into the wall. There's no guidance system. You have to have two wings. You have to have Yira and that to help it fly up, to help our mitzvahs rise up. There's a story with the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh that they once were giving him a tour of a particular shtetl, and the community leaders were taking him to the Beis Medrash, and the Baal Shem Tov refused to go in. He says, I can't go into your shul, it's your Beis Medrash. It's packed. It's filled tight with Torah. So they all thought, wow, the Baal Shem Tov doesn't feel he's choshev enough to come in. It's so packed tight with Torah. And he saw the way they were interpreting. He says, wait, let me explain to you exactly what I meant. The Gemara says that if mitzvahs and Torah is not done with Avas Hashem, with Yiras Hashem, that there's no wings. It can't fly up. So your mitzvahs can't fly up. They're all staying down here in your Beis Medrash. They haven't left it. That's why it's packed tight.
Oh.
So Mirtz Hashem, we should zoichet to have a lot of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. And that way all of our mitzvahs and our Torah study can rise up to go to its rightful place. Amen. Okay. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.